The night may be long and the dark may be deep, but the answers are there to be found. Whether it's the normal, the abnormal, or the paranormal, you're in the right place. Let's go beyond reality.
Good evening, good morning, and welcome. It's Beyond Reality Radio. I'm your host, JV Johnson. Thanks for joining me tonight. Great show lined up. We say that every night, and it's true, every night. Tonight we'll be talking about money. Not just any old money, but happy money. In fact, how to have happy money. Ken Honda will be our guest. He's the author of a book called Happy Money, The Japanese Art of Making Peace with Your Money. And he'll talk about how to create a life of abundance by changing your relationship with money. That's tonight's discussion. Just looking ahead at programs we've got coming up the rest of the week. Tomorrow night, Graham Phillips will return with us. He's a historical investigator. He's also an author. And he'll come back to talk about Stonehenge and discuss how it was used as an ancient healing sanctuary and a calendar. Stonehenge, again, one of the most mysterious megaliths on the face of the planet. Very, very interesting structure with a very mysterious past. Thursday night, James Willis will be here to talk about the Paul is Dead conspiracy. If you're a Beatles fan or you're just a fan of rock and roll history, you'll know that the Beatles had a bit of a controversy in the late 60s when a rumor started to circulate that Paul McCartney had been killed in a car accident. And then people started to see clues on album covers and in the lyrics of the songs that the Beatles were recording and releasing, saying that this particular clue proves that Paul was killed in this car accident and he was replaced by a stand-in, by a lookalike. It's a rock and roll legend as far as conspiracies go, and we'll be talking about it with James Willis on Thursday night on the program. Friday, of course, will be a best-of show. And then Monday, Glenys McCants, she's been on the show before. She's known as the numbers lady, and she'll come back to talk about numerology, and she will do readings for callers. We'll spend a good chunk of the show Monday night with Glenys doing readings for people. So you'll have to be prepared to dial in, because when we do that, our phone lines get full very, very quickly. And that is it's tough to get through at times, but if you keep trying, you will be able to. So a lot of great stuff coming up on the show. And in the meantime, there are a number of things you should do so that you can follow the show and our guests more closely. Go to the Facebook page and give it a like at Beyond Reality Radio. Also, swing by YouTube and search for JV Johnson. And like and click the notification icon. That page, subscribe to it. That YouTube channel will allow you to see the live stream of the show, participate in the chat room of the show, but it'll also give you an archive of programs. A lot of people just don't have the luxury of a radio station in their area carrying the show yet, of course. So in the meantime, the YouTube option is a great option for a live stream. And also, like I said, there's an archive of programs there, and there's also some bonus content. Again, go to YouTube, subscribe to JV Johnson, click on the notification bell so that you get alerted when a new video or a live stream is started on the channel. So a lot of good stuff there. Visit the webpage, of course, Beyond Reality Radio. That's a place that you can go and you can find our list of affiliate radio stations and see if one has been added in your area yet. If it hasn't been added yet, it will be soon. I'm sure of it as our affiliate list grows and grows, gets bigger and bigger, and we add more geography to our coverage. Anyway, a lot of great stuff coming up, and we appreciate you being part of it. So we'll take our first break of the night, and when we come back, we'll bring our guest, Ken Honda, into the show. It's Beyond Reality Radio.
Did you know that online retailers like Amazon have constant deals that can save you money on the things you buy every day? It's no joke. Save 40%, 50%, even 80% on great products. And all you have to do is know about them. Noodle Shark is the way to be alerted when something good is coming your way. Noodle Shark is the social media page that lists great deals that not only save you money, but give you the deals before anyone else has them. All you have to do is find Noodle Shark on Facebook. Search it as The Noodle Shark. That's The Noodle Shark, because you deserve to save too. Become a shark and save.
I think most of us do. Welcome back to the program. It's Beyond Reality Radio. Thanks for joining us tonight, whether you're listening on one of the great radio stations carrying the program around the country, or you've joined us on the live YouTube stream, or you're listening as a downloadable podcast later. You're all very, very welcome to be here, and I appreciate you listening to the show. Tonight, we're going to be talking about something a little bit different than what we normally talk about on the show. Although it's probably one of the most important and influential things in every one of our lives, and that is, of course, money. Our guest tonight, Ken Honda, has written a new book called Happy Money, The Japanese Art of Making Peace with Your Money. Ken, welcome to Beyond Reality Radio. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much, JV, for inviting me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, so the book just came out a couple weeks ago, right?
Yes, June 4th, and it's been doing very well.
Now, before we get into the details of how we can change our relationship with our money, let's talk a little bit about you. Now, you had a career prior to all this, right? I mean, you started doing, what was it, accounting or something?
Yes, I started very young. I started my business when I was 20, 21, and went into consulting, accounting, and I retired at the age 29, which is kind of unusual for a Japanese man because that's when all the guys start their work seriously. So I have a very different route than a lot of people.
Yeah, so you were very successful very early on, and if I remember reading correctly, at that point in your life, you had your daughter came into your life, and you decided that that was worthy of all your time and attention, right?
Yes, my wife and I found out that she is pregnant, and she asked me if we could have some time off, and I meant 2 weeks, and after 2 weeks, I wanted to have a little more, and that went into a month and 2 months, and I ended up spending 4 years for just my baby girl.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, you know, having two children now that are both grown myself, you can never recreate those days and that time, and you can, if you lose them, you lose them forever, right?
That's true, and I did an interview when I was in my 20s, what would you regret most? To people in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. And what's interesting is that the people who didn't get married, they kind of regretted that they didn't at least marry once. And the people who didn't have a child said, you know, it could have been different. And the people who had kids, they regretted that they didn't have enough quality time. So I thought, if you have kids, having quality time is more important than making money or just having a great career. Because a lot of people talk about family when they talk about regrets. And I thought it's very interesting. That's my biggest findings when I was in my 20s.
Yeah, and I think many of us feel that personally, especially when as you get older and you start losing members of your family and you regret the time you didn't spend with those people who are very important in your life, because you take them for granted frequently when they're there, and then when they're no longer there or you don't have the time to give to them, then you start to regret the times that you did have and you couldn't do it or you didn't do it.
You said it so beautifully, and I can't agree more.
So you spent time with your daughter, and as you were doing that, you started to think about things a little bit differently. And I think you had an experience in a park one day watching another mother and daughter interact that kind of made you decide that you needed to start helping people.
Yes. I just spent so much time with my wife and my daughter pretty much all day in the park or somewhere outside. And one day I saw a mother and her daughter playing, you know, in a swing. And they came in like a few minutes ago, and then they're already going to leave. So I was wondering what they're doing. And the mother said, you know, mommy has to go to work, so we have to go. But the girl was obviously, you know, who just came 5 minutes ago. So she was screaming, I don't want to go. We just, you know, came here, and she's right. But because of work, because of money, she has to work. And I realized then that if all the people knew more about money and how to let money help you, they can have more quality time. That's when I got the inspiration to write about happiness and money. That's almost 18 years ago.
So I always thought that money was just money. Either you had it or you didn't, or you were trying to get it, or you were spending it, you know, and it just kind of came and went in your life. But happy money is a little bit different than that. So what is happy money?
So happy money is money that makes you smile when you receive it. And when you spend it, it gives you joy. Everybody must have experienced some kind of happy money. Happy money is money that a child buys flowers for Mother's Day with their allowance. And happy money is money that parents save up soccer lessons, piano lessons for their kids. and the charity money that goes to in hurricane deserted area. So it's a money given out of love and is happy money, and that makes you feel good.
So, you know, most of us have either a mortgage or rent. Most of us go to the grocery store and buy food. Most of us have to pay an electric bill. Is that happy money? Spending money on those things? Does that fall into the same category?
It could be either happy money or unhappy money, because if you just pay the bills with frustration, anger, resentment, that's unhappy money. And happy money is money that you, when you do a work you don't like and receive money, that's also unhappy money. So happy people pay bills on time and with gratitude, because electricity bills, you got all the service. And without electricity, you know, you can't read books, you can't watch TV, you can't use a fridge. So people pay bills with gratitude. That's happy money. So it's up to you.
So is this an attitude shift that we're talking about here, or is there something deeper at play?
I think the starting point on the surface is an attitude. It's more of an internal action that you take, because a lot of people have, a lot of us have a negative attitude toward money. When we receive it, we feel like, ooh, you know, I should deserve more. Or like we feel frustrated because the salary we get is so little. And also when we pay bills, when we have to pay taxes or mortgages, whatever, we feel like, ooh, I don't want to pay for this. So it's either way, it gives you tense and despair and sometimes anger. That's unhappy money. So even if you make the same amount of money, and even if you have the same amount of money in the bank, you can be in the flow of happy money. It's just a simple attitude toward money. You feel gratitude or you feel resentment. But, you know, two lives are so different, and you'd feel the difference.
Ken, a lot of us fall into the trap of being consumed by our finances, whether it's, as you said, because we receive a salary and we think we deserve more, not necessarily need more, but deserve more, or we are spending money on things we don't necessarily need, and that causes some stress in our lives. I mean, I think almost everybody is consumed by this. This is a real epidemic and common problem, isn't it?
Yes, and you know, even if you make enough or more money, you know, the toys that you want to buy become more expensive. One time I had an interview with a wealthy individual and asked him, do you feel wealthy? And he said, no, not at all, because I don't have a private jet. And then later on, I had an opportunity to interview somebody with a private jet. And I asked him, do you feel like you're a wealthy man? And he said, not at all. I have a private jet, but it can seat only 6 people. It's very small, tiny. So, you know, there's no end. So if you have one car, you want to have a more expensive car, 2 cars, you know, 1 house, 2 houses, maybe 3 houses. So there's no limit. There's no end to it.
Do you think we'd get the same answer if we had Jeff Bezos on the program and asked him if he felt like he was a wealthy man?
It's a very interesting thing, and I'm sure definitely somebody like Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, they feel like they have more than enough because they're willing to share what they have.
Is there, it seems a lot of people would go into this discussion just assuming that there is a direct relationship between happy money and amount of money or quantity or how much your bank account reads. But you're saying it's not necessarily about that.
Yes, of course, if you have more money, it gives you some comfort. But in terms of happiness, even if you make little money, if you know how to become content, if you know how to satisfy yourself, you can be very happy because the amount of money doesn't give you happiness. But there's a study shows if you make more than $75,000 in North America, your happiness level, you know, stay flat. So that way you could increase your happiness up to $75,000. And even if you make $50,000 or $35,000, you can be very happy. It's more of your attitude. And even if you make $750,000, if you, all your friends are making $3 million, you must feel very miserable. So unless you get out of this money game, I call it, we feel very miserable in this game.
Ken, a lot of people are spending things, spending money on things that, you know, maybe our parents didn't have the option of spending money on, like, you know, cell phone plans that run $300 or $400 a month, or cable TV packages yes. that are $200 or $300 a month. You know, there's mm-hmm. there's an internet, you know, service that you didn't need 20, 30 years ago. There are a lot of things on our list of what we consider to be necessities anymore that run, mm-hmm. you know, hundreds of dollars each a month that didn't exist so many years ago. Is that part of the problem too?
I think it's just only a partial problem because in the future we'll have something else. We don't have a virtual reality like plan yet,
but, right? Right.
You know, in a couple of years we're gonna have that, like a 3D, you know, system or something in the house. So and a flying car option or whatever. So it's gonna be a, you know, a lot on the menu.
Ken, we've got a lot to talk about here, but when the title says the Japanese art of making peace with your money, is this specifically a cultural concept that you're trying to share, or does it just so happen to be that because you're Japanese, this is something that that you wanted to include in the title?
I think it has both aspects. As Marie Kondo, my friend who published the book Magic of Tidying Up, she says thank you when she throws, lets go of stuff she doesn't need in the house, mm-hmm. you know, when she ties up. Mm-hmm. So it's a similar concept because we believe in Japanese Shinto has this tradition that there are 8 million gods. So like a table has a spirit and the water and, you know, a glass computer. So that tradition let us probably appreciate more about things. So appreciating money is a very new concept for, I think, Westerners. But the key concept of happy money is appreciate your money. Arigato, your money is really the key to happiness. But like, thank you, money, you know, people kind of like feel puzzled at the beginning. But when you start appreciating money, your life will shift. So I hope everybody tries that, at least. It doesn't cost anything.
Right. When you these concepts and this particular idea that you share mm-hmm. in your book, were these things that you lived by when you had your accounting business and your before you retired at the age of 29? Are these things you started to recognize after you retired?
My father was a very successful accountant, so he taught me everything that I needed to know about money since I was 5 or 6. But that was more of a money IQ part, intelligence part. And after I was 23, I started to find my mentors who teach me about financial EQ side, emotional side. And one of my mentors is called Wahei Takeda, who's called Warren Buffett of Japan. He is a very wealthy investor. And he said, the key to wealth is just appreciate money, because when you appreciate things, those things appreciate. So when you appreciate money, money appreciates. So his teaching was very Zen, and I was fascinated with his philosophy. He didn't teach us the stock tips, like which one to buy and which one to sell, or when to buy, when to sell. He always said, appreciate your money and love your money, and money will love you. It's very Zen. So it takes a while for Westerners to really figure out what it is. It's easy.
Yeah, there's no question that money and in some definitions, finances can be the source of a lot of stress, anger, fear in people's lives. I mean, we've seen families broken apart because of money. We've seen businesses mm-hmm. broken apart because of money. We've seen spouses broken apart because of money. If it's not appreciated, Ken, it can really be devastating to people.
That's so true. I do a lot of couple counseling, family counseling, and team building counseling when it comes to money, because all the fights and all the discomfort in our relationships, either it's a private or business, it's money related. And unless we feel total peace with money, we cannot find happiness. And it's so true. especially when it comes to a couple and money.
How do we invite more happy money into our lives versus just regular money? I mean, how does that happen?
So what I always suggested, arigato in, arigato out. That means when the money comes into you in whatever the form, you say arigato or thank you. Because just imagine whoever gives you money, they chose you over somebody else. That means if you're on your own, they chose you to pay the money to. If you're a florist, masseuse, or accountant or lawyer, they chose you out of all the other accountants and lawyers or flower shops. And that's something that you can deeply appreciate for. And if you start appreciating, what's interesting is that your clients feel that appreciation. One of my students in my seminar, she was complaining about her boss, but later on, she found out that she should appreciate her boss more, which she did. And after a few weeks, she got a raise. And I've heard so many of my students talk about the miraculous things happened to them. A few weeks after they started appreciating about everything, they get a lot of appreciation back, either from their partners, family members, or clients and colleagues and bosses. So appreciation really works.
I mean, it almost sounds like there's a bit of a, to use a different word, karma involved in all of that.
That's so true. And I think if you're familiar with how the world works, we tend to get together with a very similarly minded people. So if we are always complaining, somehow you're surrounded by complainers. And if you're just always in appreciation and always full of gratitude, people who want to appreciate you will be around you. So it might take a few weeks to a few years, but if you start appreciating and keep appreciating, all the people around you are so generous and also loving, fun people. So try that. You know, if you just complain for about everything for 3 weeks, that will make you feel very miserable to begin with, and then you drag everybody together. So it's a choice, and it's not once again, it's nothing to do with how much money you make or how much you have. It's about who you are and what kind of energy you send out. Because whatever you send out, you will get it. So that's why I insist on starting the flow of happy money by saying thank you.
Let's take those principles and apply them to, say, a single mother who may not be making enough to pay rent, you know, buy the food, buy the clothes, doesn't get enough support from an ex-spouse. And that person might be listening to the program saying, you know, I don't know how to be happy about this because I'm constantly struggling. How do they apply these principles?
You know, the reason why you're struggling is that you're not asking enough. You know, to be in the flow of happy money, you have to be somewhat vulnerable because we are so good at giving, but we are so bad at receiving. So if you're a single mother and needs help, you have to show that. You have to ask your neighbors for help. You have to start asking your friends and family members for help. But a lot of people have a so hard time asking for help. That's why they are in hard times to begin with. So it's nothing to do with, once again, how much you make. If you're willing to accept support from everybody, you'll be overwhelmed by the amount of support you get. It's just you're not asking enough. So people don't know, because you probably look happy and content enough. So people will never imagine that you need help. But if you say, I'm a single mother, I need help, people are generally very generous and support you.
A lot of people, you know, have these kinds of struggles as well, and they may have feel it's I don't know if it's a pride issue or what it happens to be to ask for that kind of help. Mm-hmm. Are you suggesting for like moral support help, or do you mean looking for someone to help you pay your bills?
Both, if you need both, because you know some people are willing to pay a lot of money. In my seminar, I witnessed one person was crying because she didn't have enough money. So, and I I prepare a small box, and I ask my audience. I have about 400 people in the seminar, and then if you feel the call to help her, just throw in some money. So it was so amazing to see how much they're throwing all the money to for her. Some people threw coins and $10 bills, and somebody just gave in a $100 bill, and she got something like a few thousand dollars very quickly. And it's so moving because, for one thing, she was so afraid to ask for help, even from her own parents, from her best friends, because it brings a shame issue, probably especially more so in Japan. But I think it's the same thing. You know, we have funny pride that gets in the way. But if we are so vulnerable and then open up ourselves for help, it's amazing how many people are willing to help.
Ken, I think that you might be the first guest we've ever had from Tokyo, contacting us or connecting to us from Japan, Tokyo. That's pretty exciting.
Great. I'm so excited. And it's live, right? It's afternoon and it's late at night. You. And
yeah.
I'm actually calling from your future.
Yes, you are. We are about almost 1 a.m. here on the East Coast in the U.S. And you're in the afternoon at some point.
Right. I'm calling you tomorrow afternoon.
So, we often talk about having to have money to survive. And in many cases, people think more money is going to make you happier. But do wealthy people struggle with this problem as well? Is unhappy money part of their lives, even though they have a lot of it?
Mm-hmm. So it's a different kind. You know, I meet, for example, in one single day, I meet a hippie, to people on the verge of bankruptcy, to a wealthy individual and super wealthy individual at night. You know, so all kinds of people, but still they have the similar thing in common. That is, they worry about money for different reason. Like poor people have a hard time making both ends meet, so they feel frustration. And the middle class and upper middle class, they feel like they're also feel drowning too, because they feel the need for saving up enough for their kids' college, tuition and stuff. And also upper middle class and wealthy people, they always feel that they're going to lose their money somehow. So that means they're going to lose their comfort life. So we're all afraid of money in some ways. So unless we face the core issue of money, we cannot feel peaceful.
Is there any connection between earning money and happy money? In other words, is there a certain happiness that comes along with money that you've earned yourself versus, receiving in some other fashion?
Yes. You know, one time at the party, I was approached by a Japanese woman, and she said, "Can I look at your wallet?" And I handed out my wallet to her, and she checked the bills. And she checked my bills. She said, "It's okay. This is great. This is good. She handed back my wallet. And she said, "Ken, all your money is good. Your money is smiling." And I asked her, "What do you mean?" She said, "You seem to be able to make a lot of people very happy and receive money. That's your money is smiling in your wallet." And I got this inspiration that if you make people happy and receive money, your money is smiling in your wallet. So that's the idea. You know, if you do what you love and then accept money, that's happy money.
There's been a real shift in most economies, and a lot of people are looking, in the United States, this is particularly true. I think it's well over 50% of the population in some fashion relies on some kind of money or assistance from the government.
Mm-hmm.
How does that affect all of this as more and more people start looking to governments or public entities for some? Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it's something as simple as just assistance with college tuition. But it's still money coming from a government entity. Does that change any of this?
You know, the more you receive money from other sources, you feel vulnerable, and then you feel less confident about your ability to generate money, generate income. So unless you just stand on your own and then start generating money flow, you feel dependent on something. Like could be your partner, could be your company you're working for, it could be the government. So you have to really find the true source of money creation is in you. And if you knew that, you know that you're like a money magnet. And then if you become more attractive, the money will come to you. And if you are not doing a great job, money will not come to you. It's as simple as that. So if you can create something beautiful and contribute to the world, money will come to you according to the services you're giving to the world.
We're talking with Ken Honda. We will be taking your phone calls in the second part of the program about his book, Happy Money, The Japanese Art of Making Peace with Your Money. And the phone number is 844-687-7669. We'll be continuing our conversation with Ken on the other side of the break. Don't forget that coming up in the next few nights here on Beyond Reality Radio, we have Graham Phillips tomorrow night. He's a historical investigator and an author. He'll come back to discuss Stonehenge and how it was used as an ancient healing sanctuary and a calendar. And then on Thursday night, James Willis, who is an author and a speaker, will be talking about the Paul is Dead conspiracy. Now, this is something that all Beatles fans are aware of. It was a rumor that shook Beatle fandom in the late 60s when it was reported that Paul McCartney may have actually been killed in a car accident, and that if you looked at the clues on album covers and in some of the lyrics of the songs, you could actually get the real story. And again, that'll be James Willis talking about that Thursday night. But again, we've got Ken Honda with us, and we'll be talking more about his book, Happy Money. A few things I'd like you to do: swing by the Facebook page and like Beyond Reality Radio so you can see more about what we're doing. You'll learn about more about our guests and things we have coming up on the program. Also, a lot of great posts from our listeners on the page. It's Beyond Reality Radio on Facebook. Also, my personal Facebook page, JV Johnson, give that a like as well. And do the same thing on YouTube. Subscribe to JV Johnson. If you do not have a radio station in your area that carries the program yet, that's a great way to watch and listen to the show. A live stream on YouTube. It's also a place where there's an archive of a couple of hundred of episodes of Beyond Reality Radio, plus some bonus content, all right there on YouTube. Just go to JV Johnson. So we have a lot going on in the next few days. Graham Phillips will be here tomorrow night. He's a historical investigator. He's also an author. We're talking about Stonehenge, how it was used as an ancient healing sanctuary and a calendar. Stonehenge, very mysterious structure. Also, Thursday, James Willis will be here to talk about the Paul is Dead conspiracy. If you're a rock and roll buff or a Beatles fan, this is one that you want to hear. James will talk about that conspiracy that shook Beatles fans, as they were told by some that Paul McCartney had died in a car accident, and there was proof on album covers and in the lyrics of the songs to tell the story. So that'll be Thursday night's program. It's going to be a great one. Looking forward to that. Friday, of course, is a best of. And then on Monday, Glenys McCants will come back to the show. It's been a while since Glenys has been here. She's known as the numbers lady. We'll talk about numerology, and we will also take phone calls, and she will do numerology readings for callers. People love that, and we love it as well, and you're going to want to get your dialing fingers ready because the phone lines fill up quickly. That's Monday night's program. We are taking your phone calls now to talk about money with our guest tonight, Ken Honda. His website is kenhonda.com, and again, the book is called Happy Money. And again, Ken, thank you so much for being here. You are half a world away. It's amazing what technology can do, right? I mean, to think that you are on the other side of the globe, and you'd think you were sitting right next to me.
Yeah, JV, thank you. I can hear you so close to me. You're almost like right next to me.
It is pretty amazing. Let's talk a little bit more about the book here, and then we're going to take some listener calls. We've had some people waiting on hold for a while. Mm-hmm. We talk about money being a problem often, whether it's because you have too much or you have too little, or somebody wants it, or somebody. How do you get out of that rut? I mean, it's one thing to say, be grateful for the money that you receive and the money that you spend. But when you're in a rut like that, how do you find a way out of it?
You know, you have to stop comparing with other people. In English, there's expression, keeping up with Joneses, right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you have to, do what your neighbors, your friends do. That is a bad idea, because no matter what you do, you feel like it's not enough. So you have to really get out of this comparison mode. And unless you shift your consciousness toward you and how you feel about it, you'll never find peace around money. And that's number one. And then number two is you have to really confront where you stand, because where you are financially is the result of what you've done in the past 10, 20, 30, 40 years. So you really have to face that. But it's almost like dealing with your weight issues. It didn't happen overnight. So you really have to face what you've got. That's always the hardest.
Yeah, it is definitely the hardest. It's grass is always greener syndrome in a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. We are taking your phone calls at 844-687-7669. And like I said, we've had some people on hold for a while, so I'm going to go take a couple listener questions here. This is Felipe in New Orleans, Louisiana. Is it Felipe or Philippe?
It's Felipe.
Welcome to the program, Felipe. You're on with Ken Honda.
Hello, Felipe.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Good morning to you. I've been a long-time listener, and I love your work. And Mr. Honda, good afternoon to you. Like, I agree, it's incredible that I'm even talking to you on the phone. That's beyond my comprehension, and somebody way smarter than me. I'm thankful for it, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to speak to you. And this is a once-in-a-lifetime chance in my eyes.
Well, thank you for the kind words.
Thank you for having the show, Mr. Johnson. And two, thank you, Mr. Honda, for all your work. I followed it for a while, and you're, in my opinion, brilliant. And I don't mean to sound sycophantic, and I'm not going to say any more on it, because I could be effusive with praise for minutes on your work, and Mr. Johnson, likewise, because I love what you have done. So
wow.
I only have one question, and if there's some kind of time limit, by all means, let me know and cut me off, because I know you have a lot of people waiting.
No, you're good.
But, a little bit of background about me before is I was in the military, in the Army. I was a combat engineer, and I spent a year in Afghanistan looking for IEDs. And I did not get paid a quarter of what I make now. Not that I'm complaining. It was an honor and a privilege to fight in the global war on terror, as it is called, for America, because I was originally born in Costa Rica. So I loved it.
Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service, Felipe.
Thank you, sir. It was like I said, I'm grateful that I did. You know, I love everything about it. I could not talk about it enough. But essentially, I only made, like I said, a small portion of what I make now. And I'm that roofing contractor now. And I agree with everything you're saying, Mr. Honda, because I have not, you know, I don't have, you've probably forgotten more about this stuff than I will ever learn. But you know, I agree with everything you're saying. Not only until recently that I started living that way, because, one, I believe in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and I don't know if y'all are familiar, I'm sure you are, but essentially it says what you're saying, that in order for somebody to be completely happy, not only to be able to ensure their survival, but they need to be having some sort of financial stability, whatever that means, depending on the market that they live in.
Right.
And based on the market, I get to put on beautiful roofs, and I feel like I'm helping out homeowners, because it is an asphalt shingle. There are better roofing products, but it's the best one on the market. So I'm happy every time I put it on. And you know, the company's name is Pride, and I love it, because not only was Pride the first city I moved in the United States, but the motto is a job well done, it's a job done with pride, and I love everything about that. So I'm not going to, you know, I don't mean to market the company or anything like that, but long story short, my question to you is, I know that I'm making how much the market pays, but it's way more than I ever wished or dreamed I would make. And I agree with everything you're saying. I feel like my wallet, based on your determination, because I've been listening for like the last 47 minutes or so, and I feel like my wallet is a happy wallet, full of happy bills, you know, because, you know, like you said, I'm happy and I'm providing a good service, in my opinion. So my only question is, if I can't think of anything else to ask you, is how long have you known what you know and thought about money the way you think about it today?
Great question, Felipe.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Felipe, for sharing your life. I feel so happy when I find another happy soul. So I'll congratulate you on that. I've been thinking this way for about probably 15, 20 years at least, and a little before that. So half of my life, I've been living in this flow of happy money, and I'm so grateful for that. And what I found is that more gratitude I have toward money, it really appreciates. So what I appreciate really appreciates. So I used to feel like I have more than enough, and now the more I make, the more I receive, and the more I share, the more to come. So I'm overwhelmed by the generosity of other people, the income I have. And so I feel like I'm so blessed with abundance. So I'm thinking of ways to share what I have, what I know, so freely. And so once you go over the survival mode, you just find fun in sharing whatever you have, whatever you know. So I think the important thing is go over the survival mode as fast as you can. And then if you can make both ends meet, and then you can start thinking of some luxury and more to share with other people, with your family and the people you don't know. So I think, Felipe, your next goal is, you know, go beyond what you make and then start sharing what you have. So I bless you in advance. That's what we do in Japanese culture. I bless your financial independence, bless your happiness in advance, because you're going to get more of that along the way.
Felipe, thank you for that terrific phone call and those very, very kind words, by the way. Our number is 844-687-7669. We're going to take one more call before we go to break. This is our good friend, Barry. Welcome to the program, Barry.
Hello, JV, Jimmy Johnson. What a great show. And I'm telling you, your last caller was so spot on, JV. I'm the same way. I'm not real wealthy, but I got enough money to when I'm out shopping around and I see somebody in the checkout line, I go ahead and pay back or pay forward, whatever you want to do. I love to spend $30-$40 on somebody getting groceries. And it's just happy money. And it's so wonderful to feel the freedom of being able to help some. You know, I'm not a millionaire, nothing like close, but it feels good to help when I can.
You see a smile on somebody's face that you don't see every day, right, Barry, when you do something like that?
You know what? It gives me such a great feeling in my gut, right where my heart is. I mean, these people are appreciative. I mean, if you don't buy $30-$40 worth of groceries, I mean, they feel like you bought them a new car.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's true. And Ken, is that part of the recipe here for happy money?
Yes. I mean, even if it's like $3, that's happy money. But you're way beyond more generous than many people. So I'm so touched by what you do. And I can really sense happiness from your voice. So I really congratulate you, too.
Well, thank you for saying so. And, fellas, I'm telling you, what a great little show. And keep it up, JV. That Jason's not even needed around there.
Don't let him hear that. Barry, thank you so much for the phone call. We always love having you on the program. That's Barry from North Carolina, a great friend of Beyond Reality Radio. Ken, this is kind of a short segment, but when should we start thinking about money this way? Is this something that we should start as youngsters or after you get your first job? Or is there a point where we need to start looking at things differently?
So I think ideally, if you start dealing with money when you're 3 or 4 or 5, that's ideal. But I think the second best time is now. So how old ever you are, I think you can start today by thinking, by appreciating money. So, and you don't need any license or certificate to start happy money. So just start appreciating money. And what's interesting is that once you transform your relationship with money, everything changes, because if you have a good relationship with money, you tend to trust life more. You tend to have better relationship with your partner, family members, clients, colleagues, and with the society. So once you're in this appreciation, gratitude mode, the society will be somehow more gentle and generous for you.
When I was a kid, my parents gave me a weekly allowance. Now, my parents did not have much money at all. My dad worked 3 jobs. My mother was a waitress until after I actually went to college. Then she ended up getting a better job. But, they struggled all of the time. But I remember them laughing and enjoying themselves and finding ways to live their lives fully. And then, you know, they would give me an allowance and they would teach me how to save and they would teach me how to appreciate that money that I had. And it wasn't a lot. I don't know if it's the norm now or if it's the exception that kids get an allowance from their parents. I know mine didn't. They just got whatever they needed. So what are the lessons we're teaching kids with allowance or as they start to get money, whether it's for a birthday or whatever? How do we teach kids to appreciate it better?
You know, in general, I want family to talk more about money because money is such a big taboo everywhere in the world, and it's more so in North America. I was so surprised that American people don't talk about money in public. Japanese people talk somewhat more about money in public, but we talk less about sexual things. So it's interesting. It's different from, you know, one culture from another. But once you start talking about money more, you know how your family is doing financially. And I want the kids to be responsible for your family situation too, because kids have no limits. And what they wonder is like what their friends are having. So if they once know their family situation, they kind of find ways to cope with the reality. And it's more healthy than just ignoring what's going on in the family, especially when they're having a hard time to make both ends meet financially.
I remember my grandfather, we just have about 30 seconds here. I remember my grandfather he lived through the Depression and fought in World War II, you know, the greatest generation. I remember him saying to me all the time, take care of the pennies and the dollars will take care of themselves. You know, it was all about frugality. Is frugality part of this or does that really not part of what we're talking about?
If you want to go for that, that's okay. But if there's plenty of money in the world, you can enjoy money. You don't have to, you know, pinch pennies. So just live your life because life is out there to be lived, not to be saved.
Ken, is this your first book that's been released in English or have you had others?
This is my very first book in English. I've written more than 57 or 8, but in Japanese. But this was a struggle because English was my second language. So it was a big stretch for me to write in a foreign language.
So you actually,
but I was so passionate.
Actually wrote it in English and didn't write it in Japanese and have it translated?
I wrote in my poor English and I have great supporters who just made sense in modern English.
So you talk about the way that we relate to money is the way we actually relate to life. Talk about that at length.
You know, I've done a lot of counseling, and the often thing that comes up is people worry about money. And then all of us seem to worry about money all the time. But when you take a closer look at what's happening, we're not really worrying about money. We are worrying about the situation without any money. In other words, we're imagining and we're hallucinated by this, you know, a nightmare that someday we'll be in a situation without any money. And that kills us. But when you come to think of it, even though we are happen to be in a situation with no money, if you have many friends to help you or family to support you, you have nothing to worry about. And I've done a lot of interviews with wealthy people, and at least 3 or 4 times in their life, they happened to fall into this place with no money, but they didn't care about it because after a few months, they come back to being wealthy again. So you need resilience, you know, instead of just worrying about it. So worrying about money is almost like putting a curse on your future. Even if you happen to be in a place of no money, as long as you have help, you can come back. So it's more of a trust issue that you have. You are not trusting life enough. So if you just deal with money worries and just then clean it out, you have more trust in life.
One of the quotes on your website is talking about your willingness, a person's willingness to receive happiness and receive mm-hmm. abundance. Most people would think that they want both of those things, but what you're suggesting is here, you need to be open to receiving these things. How does that work?
You know, in life, of course, we want everything to be our own way, but as life goes, we know it's not true. So sometimes we want something so badly, but that doesn't seem happening. So in order to be happy, we have to know what we want, and also we have to go for it. But at the same time, we have to be satisfied with what we got. Otherwise, we'll keep complaining. So in life, there's this two parts. One is take actions and going forward, and at the same time, receiving whatever we got. And still enjoy it. And we might not marry the best love of our life, but still we can be happy. We may not end up with the best job, but still we can find happiness. And somehow life is mysterious that way. And it's almost like we're guided toward a place. And that's probably very different from the place where you imagined 10, 20 years ago.
Do you think too many people put an importance on whether they're satisfied with the job they do? I often look at it and say, hey, you know, sometimes getting a job is nearly impossible. If you've got one, you should be thankful for it. Mm-hmm. And it provides you with something that you need, which is money. Do you think that is a silly way to look at it? Or do you think maybe too many people get too much stress out of the fact they don't like their job?
So I think it's a happy standpoint of view that you can be simply happy by having a job. But at the same time, you have to really face your reality too. If you feel like you're getting paid too little, you have to start looking for a more highly paid job. And that will be found through your network. And that's something that you find more satisfying atmosphere too. And to do that, you have to find your gifts. That's another subject of many of my books. You have to find what you're good at, what you can do it without any work. So once you find your true gifts, you can monetize it. You can probably transfer jobs, and then sometimes you should go on your own, and that way you can make more money and more satisfying job. So you have to have two different perspectives. You have to feel happy about what you've got. But at the same time, you have to take actions in order to be happier.
You had an accounting practice. You mm-hmm. retired for a while. You discovered that you had a message and a vision to share with people. And mm-hmm. that's what you're doing now with your book, Happy Money. Those are three very, very distinct phases of your life. Would you say, yes. Which of those three do you feel as though you were most suited for?
You know, right now, I don't feel like working at all. Like this interview or my writing, it's come so naturally. So for me, everything is a bliss. It's so fun. You know, I get to speak to thousands of people. I'd be on TV, like this radio. It's my dream. So I feel like sometimes, you know, I'm just twisting my arms and my cheek, like, is this my dream? am I dreaming? So that's how I feel. And when I was doing accounting, I was more doing it out of family obligation. My father was a CPA. My brother is an accountant. So I was sort of doing fulfilling my role, which wasn't so bad. But now I'm following my heart, and I'm just get to share whatever I do. I don't need to do this financially. I'm just doing this for fun, which makes it more fun.
Have you been able to share this message with people, then actually watch some of them transform into using some of this and their lives becoming better because of it?
Yes, at least personally, tens of thousands of people. You know, my podcast has downloads of 40 million people.
Oh, wow.
And I have like hundreds of thousands of testimonials on my Japanese website. And it's so miracle that people shift in just one action, just thank your money. And I've done Many events in Japan, almost every week I speak to big events, and every day I'm transforming people's lives. And I'm so grateful that I get to do this in English-speaking country, and also in China soon and Europe. My book will be out in 40 different countries.
As you release the book in these various countries, and particularly because you have written for a Japanese audience for a long time, and this is your first book in English, which obviously is important for the United States, mm-hmm. do you mm-hmm. see any differences culturally here about
it's
this
so interesting.
About this particular topic?
Yes. For example, like the radio interviews a few days ago, I received a question. People ask me, so how can we increase income? So that's like very typical American person asking me questions.
Sure.
Whereas Japanese people ask me questions like, how can I satisfy with less income? So it's a different approach.
Wow. And so, the American audience is more interested in getting more.
Yes.
And the Japanese audience is more interested in being happier with less.
Yeah, so because that means less work.
Yeah, interesting.
It's very interesting and fascinates me because neither of them is wrong. You know, it's just a different approach, and that's fascinates me a lot.
So once again, let's kind of bring this around full circle. Let's talk about what it means to have a loving, abundant relationship with money.
Mm-hmm. So once again, if you are in gratitude with money, and also if you do what you love and share with the lovely people, if you love your clients, your customers, you're in heaven because you're just contributing to your family. I'm sure that's what Steve Jobs was feeling. You know, he was so excited to develop new iPhones, or iPod, or whatever the product or services he was creating. People can find joy when they feel the need to support other people with their gifts. So if you start living your passion and receive money, happy money through your life work, and just start this cycle, you can't stop. And after a while, you get more than your own survival. So you will stop probably sharing what you have in terms of money and also your generosity. And that brings you more joy. So once you go into this beautiful cycle, your life will be very different. So the first stage of getting out of survival is the hardest.
As we look at, take your advice and we start looking at money differently. And, you know, many of us with children often think of our estates and estate planning and these types of things. And leaving things and money to our children. And some people are of the mind, they want to time it so when they pass away, the balance is zero and they've spent their money enjoying their lives. Do either mm-hmm. of those scenarios affect happy money one way or the other?
I think it's an individual. We didn't get to talk about the money type, but there are spender type and saver type and compulsive maker type and the hippie type, money different type. Depending on which type your children are, if your children are a spender type, if you leave money, they'll just spend. And they could be in deep debt. And so you have to be careful with leaving a lot of money for the spender. So, you know, you have to be careful with what your children's behavior are like. And if you pay much attention to your kids, probably you're okay. But a lot of family wealth could ruin kids' life, so you have to be very careful.
Yeah, I actually have some personal experience with that in my family. That I've seen it ruin some kids, and yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm sure some of our listeners do as well. Okay, so the book is called Happy Money. Where can people find the book?
You can find it anywhere in Amazon and also Barnes & Nobles and all the big stores. And also there are 150 airport bookstores. They're everywhere. It's yellow, smiley face. So you cannot miss.
And what do you want people to walk away with most importantly after they've read the book?
You know, it may sound ironic, but after reading my book, I want you to forget about money because money is just the support of your life. So start living your life. And then if you forget about money and then start focusing on your life and family, that's a beautiful success for my book. So just start appreciating money, and eventually I hope you forget about money. And that's that's my idea.
I know this book was just released recently, so it might be a little premature to ask you this, but what's next on your plate?
So I have 20 more books in my head for English audience. So, you know, I write books so fast. I usually write a book in 2 weeks. So I'm ready to rock and roll for my English books.
Well, that's great. Ken, it's a fascinating discussion. It's actually a very, very important topic that many of us avoid or at least put out of our minds until it's a problem. So thank you very much for being on the show. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for listening in at late time of your life. Thank you.
And is the website the best place for people to go to just follow your work?
Yes. And also you can find my information on Facebook, and all the information is web. Ken Honda is an easy name for an American people, I guess.
Yeah, it is. All right. Thanks again, Ken. Do you have happy money, Orion?
I do. I think I do.
Mm-hmm. Based on what? Based on the fact that you're grateful for it?
Yeah, and that I feel like through this show, we're kind of providing a service to people. I know when we have psychics, et cetera, people feel really grateful for guidance and all that. And so this work is part of that.
That's a great point. And speaking of which, we've got Glynis McCann coming up. What is that, Monday night?
Mm-hmm.
Monday night show. Now, of course, she's a numerologist, not a psychic, but she's done some really great readings on the program for listeners, and she's going to be doing that on Monday night as well. We'll talk about numerology with her, and then we'll spend the most of the show taking calls so people can do readings. And I remember her, when she was on the show last time, we had a lot of very, very grateful listeners felt that she helped them a lot.
Mm-hmm. And even if it's not a direct guidance, personalized guidance, I mean, you know, Ken Honda is, I think, provided a lot of guidance for people out there listening tonight.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I think we often look at money as a quantity only thing. You know, we feel like if we don't have more, we're either not successful, we're not proud, we're not making it, we're not whatever. Mm-hmm. And we don't often take a moment to sit back and just be thankful for what we do have, right?
Mm, right, and share it with others.
That's a good point. Let's see. Tomorrow night's program, Graham Phillips will be with us. We'll be talking about Stonehenge. I love talking about Stonehenge. We haven't talked about that on this program in quite some time. And he'll be discussing how it was used as an ancient healing sanctuary and a calendar. And then Thursday, Paul is dead. No, I'm not talking about Paul Lynn. I'm talking about Paul McCartney. And the fact, does anybody remember who Paul Lynn was?
Well, sure, I do.
You do, Ryan does. Nice. Paul McCartney, obviously, Beatle, was rumored to be dead in the late 60s, and that there were hints in the images on the albums and in some of the lyrics of the songs. James Willis will be talking about that whole thing on Thursday night's program. And, of course, Friday is a best of. I can't believe you actually did a Paul Lynn impersonation. National radio. That's impressive. Wow.
My talents are never ending.
And so, people in the chat are talking about Hollywood Squares, right? He was in Hollywood Squares.
Oh, yeah, he was. Oh, God, he killed on that
show. He was on Bewitched, too, wasn't he?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, he's a man of many talents.
Bye Bye Birdie, of course.
That's right. He was in Bye Bye Birdie with Anne Margaret, that film version. Yeah, okay. All right, well, that's going to do it for tonight, everybody. Hey, thanks for being here. Thank you for listening to the show, and thank you to our guest, Ken Honda. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. It's Beyond Reality Radio.
Beyond Reality Radio is hosted by Jason Hawes and JV Johnson and produced by Alexandria Johnson and Slick Eddie Edwards for Entercom Radio. Beyond Reality Radio is distributed by Westwood One Radio Networks. Stop by our Facebook page and say hello. Follow the hosts on Facebook as well. For Jason Hawes, follow at jasonhawes.taps. For JV Johnson, follow at jvjparanormal. If you'd like to be a guest on Beyond Reality Radio or you have a suggestion for a guest, contact Slick Eddie Edwards at slickeddieedwards@gmail.com. Be sure to visit our chat room as well at beyondrealityradio.com. Thanks for listening.